Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 77 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast. I'm Billy, and with me as always is Dave.
Hey, guys.
And we're going to be, later we're going to be previewing new comics that are coming out Wednesday, June 24th, 2015, which happens to be my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I don't know if this is just me or if you're like this too, but when new comic book day and my birthday end up being the same day, it's like the best.
Yeah, I don't know if that's happened for me.
Well, it has to have happened for you.
I guess it must have, but you know.
That's how calendars work, you know? Like your birthday at some point has been every day in the week.
Yeah, I just don't know if I've ever.
So maybe it is just me, because I realized it like months in advance, and I'm like, new comic book day, my birthday, the same day this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe I just don't make it to the comic store on my birthday, because like other things are planned. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Because yeah, I'm always like, I always take off work for my birthday, and one of the things I like to do is go to the comic book store and buy some comic books fresh off the truck.
Nice, nice. A little happy birthday to me.
Yeah, exactly. And so maybe it is just me. Maybe I'm the only one who like is like, whew, it's like it's almost like Christmas, birthday, and new comic book day at the same time. So we got a. It's funny going into this episode. I was like, oh, not much news coming out this week, and then on Monday we got a bunch of announcements.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them are crazy. Some of them are not so crazy. But yeah, let's.
One of the crazy ones is Dark Horse is coming to Comixology. I'm amazed they didn't wait until San Diego Comic-Con to announce this.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking. But, you know, maybe this is cool because maybe you'll get an awesome Dark Horse sale available on Comixology for San Diego Comic-Con.
That's a good point. Yeah. But yeah, I'm psyched about that because I'm not a big fan of the Dark Horse app. I use it, but not a big fan of it.
Almost. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I use it, but like, I find the user interface a little cumbersome or maybe confusing. You know,
right.
Sometimes like, is this on my iPad? Is it not?
So yeah, the Dark Horse app. The one thing that I don't like about the announcement is that they also announced that your purchases that you previously made on Dark Horse will not be syncing over into Comixology, at least not for the time being.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to probably figure some of that out, like maybe in the future eligible
right.
Comics, because I can't see like them moving Star Wars over.
That makes sense, yeah.
I think that might be a bit of a problem. Or they might be able to do it, because I have like some books that I've gotten for free from different publishers, and they just appear in your store, but in your app, but they're not available on the store anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like if you're someone like me who went heavy and bought the $300 Star Wars bundle at the end of last year, you know, you definitely want to be able to still have access to those.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'd be nice if you could have it all in one app, like in Comixology.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be really cool. So, and with Comixology being purchased by Amazon, I kind of feel like that's not going away any time soon.
Yeah, definitely. And what gives me hope is that when Marvel and DC first launched their apps, if you bought a comic in the Comixology app, it would not appear in your Marvel app or your DC app, and vice versa if you purchased them in the individual apps and then
yeah.
Bought them in Comixology. But, you know, they worked around that, so I'm hoping for that. Yeah, so that's good because I just like everything being consolidated into one place.
I think everybody does.
And so another big piece of news, post-Secret Wars, Kelly Sue DeConnick is leaving Captain Marvel, a character that she's kind of become synonymous with over the past few years.
Right, right. That's I think, outside of Dark Horse, I feel like this is the biggest news.
Yeah, this is, to me, this is like Dan Slott leaving Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. It's one of those things. It's like when Mark Waid left the Flash, you know, right. you're like, what the what?
Yeah. Even when Grant Morrison left JLA, just cause I just,
yeah, no, he had kind of, you know, hit a reset button on the JLA. And he became pretty much synonymous with the JLA. And, you know, kind of made it. He kind of did what Bendis did with the Avengers,
yeah,
to the JLA, but, you know, years prior, and not in like a story way, but just made them relevant again.
Right, exactly. And Kelly Sue DeConnick really made Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, relevant again. I think the last writer who really had a strong take on her was Kurt Busiek, when he addressed her alcoholism in his run of Avengers in the late 90s.
Hmm.
But I feel like that character has never had this level of popularity except, you know, this current Kelly Sue DeConnick run.
Yeah, I like that she, I think when they made her Captain Marvel, it kind of gave her a, you know,
more authority.
Yeah. And, you know, she's the captain behind the Marvel line. So, you know,
right.
And, you know, I mean, and I don't think they had plans for her in the movies until after Kelly Sue did what she did, you know?
Mm. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. And I wonder, you know, what Kelly Sue DeConnick is moving on to. I assume she's staying with Marvel while continuing, you know, her Image series, because she has Pretty Deadly and Bitch Planet from Image.
Yeah, I think she has a deal with Universal or something that she got a lot of her time wrapped up in. So I don't know what we'll be seeing from her from Marvel in the near future. But I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah. Huh.
Another bit of Marvel news that was announced that I don't want to pass up is the new Doctor Strange ongoing.
Yeah, Jason Aaron and Chris Bachalo, right?
Yeah, and
that's a nice team,
right? And he hasn't had an ongoing series in like over a decade, I would think, right?
Yeah, I wonder what Doctor Strange volume we're up to these days. You know how like the little small type at the bottom of the title page, it'll be like Amazing Spider-Man, Volume 3, you know, number 701. I feel like we're up to like Doctor Strange, Volume 13 at this point.
Right. Yeah. Because they do so many miniseries named Doctor Strange, right?
Yes. And also, they do a good number of ongoing series that get canceled in the length of a miniseries.
Oh, really? I swore I read that it was like, you know, his first ongoing in like a decade or something.
Oh, I believe that. But I remember in the 80s, he had an ongoing. They tried to give him.
Sorcerer Supreme returns for his first ongoing series in nearly 20 years. So, you know.
Yeah, I believe that.
Probably more than 15.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean is Doctor Strange is a character who has not had a good track record of holding an ongoing series.
Right. And, you know, I think they, I was reading the press release, they had a bunch of like, the doctor's in, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, like some, you know, whatever marketing speak they had in there, which made me laugh because it reminded me of the Jared Stevens Fate, the doctor's out. post Zero Hour.
Right.
On Dr. Fate.
That's funny. Now, did you notice in this like image that they released, Doctor Strange is wielding an axe? That's something he's definitely never done before.
Yeah, I'm really interested. I mean, I like Jason Aaron, and I know you do too.
Right.
And I'm really interested to see what this series is all about. I hope we get an 8-page preview, because one thing like DC did Convergence, because one thing that sold me on all these comics, on buying them and taking a jump at them, was reading an 8-page preview and getting a little hooked, you know.
Right.
I don't think I would have bought all these books that I bought this week and read them had it not been for that free 8-page preview.
Wow, that's crazy. That's true, and that's probably why I haven't been jumping on the DC titles as much as you have, because I didn't read a bunch of those free previews. It really was like a dumb move on my part because they're free.
Yeah, and they're still out there. I mean, anybody who has access to Comixology, go download them. And a lot of them aren't actually previews. They're actually precursors to the series.
Yeah, yeah.
Little, like, zero issues.
Yeah, cause that, and but I did read the Bizarro preview, and then, of course, I picked up Bizarro.
Right.
I think I would have picked that up even if I didn't read the preview.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Now, and then the other big, it's all Marvel, well, the Dark Horse announcement, but then it's a lot of Marvel news. Miles Morales is, the way the headlines are being written is that Miles Morales is going to be the Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe. And I don't know how much I actually believe that. Like, are they really telling us that, like, Dan Slott writing Spider-Man is not going to happen after Secret Wars? I just can't believe it.
Well, he could be writing Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Well, no, it's going to be Brian Michael Bendis and Sarah Pacelli on the Miles Morales Spider-Man comic book.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we're still going to have Peter Parker Spider-Man. You see it in that all new, all different.
Right, exactly. It's just that the first thing people started doing was like overreacting to this announcement.
That's not like comic book fans.
No, never, never. I was shocked. I was like, guys, how come you're not your normal calm selves? yeah, but Bendis and Pacelli on a Miles Morales book, like, can you ask for a better team? I get, you know, some people do like David Marquez better than Sarah Pacelli, but you've got Bendis and Marquez on Iron Man, so
yeah,
everybody's happy.
I think so.
Yeah.
So last bit of news comes from Art and Franco, the creative team behind Tiny Titans.
Yes. And they're opening a store in New York. Now, when I first read the headline, I thought New York City. And I was like, New York City has too many comic book stores as it is. Not that I'm saying, you know, we couldn't use one more, especially one as unique as this one. But it turns out it's actually not being opened up in the city. It's being opened up a little upstate in Harrison, New York, which is, if you know where Woodbury Commons is, it's in that area.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And it's going to be they have three stores already, and they're kid-focused. They boast that they have the largest, you know, children's comic section in any store.
Yeah, I wonder why they chose Harrison, New York.
I don't know. Oh, I think Franco, not Franco, I think Art lives near Harrison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, and Mark Waid is an investor in these stores. He's a partner with them.
Yeah.
And in this store, also partnering with them, is Mike Negan, who's the talent coordinator for New York Comic Con. So I would not be surprised if they end up having like a lot of like big name signings at that store.
Wow. That's really cool. That's really exciting. Wow. And do you head up that way every so often?
Every so often. I was actually up that way this weekend because I went to a wedding in Saratoga Springs where I officiated my third wedding. Dave and his wife were number two. And I actually had to pass through Harrison on the way. But that's even further past than where I grew up in Rockland County.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering where that was in the layout of all that.
Yeah, if you were to go north of New York City and take the thruway up, you know, on the west side of the Hudson, I'd say that's about an hour out, like an hour and a half outside of New York City.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I know that the thruway pretty well from going up to my sister's house in Albany. So.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So you definitely like pass through that area.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah. So I think it's time to play the 20.
Yeah. Yeah. You could go first this week, man.
Okay. I mean, well, I was unable to get to an even $20. But the book I'm most excited for is Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies number one. Now, I know this will be an insta-buy for Dave because James Robinson is writing it. Art by Steve Pugh, who was also the artist on Invaders, right?
Right, right. And he wrote that book that the Convergence book I really liked.
Yes, yeah, that we talked about last week.
Yeah, and I can't even remember which one it was.
So I actually did read a preview for this. Marvel puts out a free magazine in comic shops called Marvel Previews, where it's kind of like those, you know, 5-page previews DC was doing. And it gave me the first 4 pages of Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies. It looks awesome.
Yeah, and I guess this is a tie into the Battle World.
I'm still not entirely sure what the difference is between the Battle World tie-ins and the War Zones tie-ins for Secret Wars. But yeah, this takes place in Secret Wars. They talk about the wall, you know, and anyone who like does like a major crime is thrown over the wall. And on the other side of the wall is where all the Marvel Zombies and Age of Ultron robots are.
Right. And I know there is a Battle World miniseries going on.
Yes, that too. I had only read the first issue of that, though, so I don't know how this ties into that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Next on my list is Shield number 7, Mark Waid continuing his run with a different artist every month. He's got Paul Renard this time around. And here's the really interesting hook for this issue. You have Daisy Johnson, Sky, on the show, Quake in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to team up with her dad, who is Mr. Hyde.
Wow, yeah. That's cool.
And that's something they've really played up in the TV show, but we really haven't seen that much of in the comics. So I'm really excited for that. That's $4 also. And then we're going to jump to DC, kind of crazy for the rest of my picks, because lately they've just all been Secret Wars times. we've got Batgirl number 41 by Cameron Stewart and Brendan Fraser with art by Babs Tarr. It's a $3 comic. Now, here's where we're getting the new Batman, who, unbeknownst to Batgirl, is her dad, Jim Gordon, teaming up with Batgirl. Although, he has her in his, like, targeting sights on the cover, so it might not be a team-up.
Yeah, yeah. So that could be played pretty humorously.
Yeah. Then Justice League 3001, written by Keith Giffen, art by Howard Porter. Did J.M. DeMatteis write Justice League 3000 with Keith Giffen, or was it always Keith Giffen by himself?
No, I think J.M. DeMatteis did write with him.
That's what I thought, but yeah, only Keith Giffen is listed under this new title as the writer, so I was surprised by that. And I really wish, you know, Howard Porter has been doing a good job on the art.
Sometimes I think, Midtown leaves him off.
Like, yeah.
The extra name, so he could still be on there.
Wow. I hope that's the case, because I really do like them as a team of writers.
Yeah.
And then finally, my final pick is We Are Robin number 1, written by Lee Vermejo with art by Rob Haynes and New York City's own Carrie Randolph. This is a $4 comic. I was hoping it'd be $3, but it looks like a really cool concept. And it's one of those things where I feel like DC is, you know, breaking away from their house style and trying something new.
Yeah, yeah. I think all the new comics are really about breaking away from the house style that they never would confirm that they had. But you could confirm it visually. So $18, that's where you land, huh?
Yeah, $18. That's it for me.
I, too, made it only to $18.
Ah.
I, like you, am picking up Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies number 1.
Yeah, and the confusing thing about this is I think last week there was just either an Age of Ultron Secret Wars tie-in or just a Marvel Zombies Secret Wars tie-in. I forget which one it was. I almost bought it and then realized it wasn't the book I was looking for.
And then We Are Robin, I'm also getting that. And Justice League 3001, number 1, I'm also picking that up. And my 2 books that differ from yours are Gotham by Midnight, which stars the Spectre, or more Jim Corrigan running the paranormal department of the Gotham PD. And I've been reading this book for a while. It's written by Ray Fox, And we've got a new artist on it, post-convergence, Juan Ferreira.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the preview. It looks good. I've been enjoying the series since it started. And Aquaman number 41, written by DC's new favorite writer, Cullen Bunn, with art by Trevor McCarthy. And Aquaman in this book is... all of a sudden, he is on the run from Atlantis. He's a criminal. He's been dethroned and wanted for execution, and he is running from Mara.
Yeah, that's crazy. I remember you talking about the preview when you first read it.
And it looks like Tempest is part of the cast.
Interesting.
So I'm very interested to see where this goes, and what I've been reading of Cullen Bunn stuff, I really like. So I'm excited that I'm going to continue reading Aquaman. You know, they've had a bunch of strong writers on the series. They've had Jeff Johns, and they've had Jeff Parker, and now they have Cullen Bunn. And the only bummer is that now it's $3.99. And like, I like my Aquaman, but I don't know if I like Aquaman $3.99.
Yeah, it was $2.99 even when Jeff Johns and Ivan Reis were on the book.
Yeah, right.
On, see?
Yeah.
I was also surprised that We Are Robin was $3.99. I was like, this makes me a little less excited for this book.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that, especially because they're keeping Batgirl at $3.
Right. It's funny. I was talking to, I went to a really good comic book store in Saratoga Springs this weekend called Comic Depot. And I will, you know, gladly give them a plug. They are fantastic. Everybody should shop there. Like, very well-organized store. Their back issues were reasonably priced. It's not like they priced them once in the 90s and then forgot to reprice them. But I was talking to some relatives after shopping there, and they were shocked that new comic books were, like, $3 to $4. And I was like, sometimes, like, I was thinking of New Justice League number one, and I was like, yeah, it's... You know, you get some new comics that are $6, and like, I can't justify buying them.
And that's definitely a sticker shock for a lot of people, especially when you see like new paperback novels and you could buy some for like, you know, $7-$8, you know.
Right. You could buy a new novel for like $8. And one of my relatives actually said that. He's like, why would you buy a comic for $6 when you could buy like a book that will last you like a month for $8? And I was like, because I'm addicted. I have a problem.
I mean, even like new comics or graphic novels, you could spend, you know, $15 or the $4 in sales on Comixology and, you know, get, you know, at least, you know, a week or two out of those graphic novels.
Right. Oh, yeah, 100%.
So it's, I think it's gonna, you know, I think part of these restarts for all these things is like, okay, you know, let's retain some people here, you know, they're dropping off probably because they're like, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to cut this out. And then like, I'll just wait for the trade. And, you know, I think there's going to have to be like that portion of the comic industry that has to like understand how to like market for like graphic novels or the trade, you know, where you don't have to wait maybe a year for it to come out, but maybe 6 months, you know?
Right.
And keep it that way. You know, like I feel like the Earth One graphic novels are kind of starting to do that, but you don't really have like any main continuity books that do that.
Yeah.
And so I think they're going to have to figure out a way around that.
Yeah. Or, you know, offer like, that's a good point. But it just makes that Marvel Unlimited app that much more appealing. Like I was explaining how some weeks will go by where I don't buy new comics just because I'm just in the Marvel Unlimited app completely.
Right. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But as we were talking about all this, I think this new DC relaunch really grabbed me this week.
Nice.
And I ended up grabbing the $6 Justice League of America number
one. Whoa, no, I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, you know what it was? I kept reading all these reviews, and they were just talking about how great it was, and I was like, I gotta try this. It beat out Old Man Logan in sales this week.
I know Tony Guerrero from Comic Vine like wrote an article saying like why you need to buy this book.
Yeah, I will go on record as saying like if you want to save money, this book is totally worth waiting for. Like, I'm going to tell you the opposite of Tony Guerrero. And this is why, because this book takes place, I wouldn't say outside of continuity, but like just loosely based continuity.
Right.
Like, it's your basic seven from the New 52, but they're all like, you know, they're standardized versions, you know, like Superman is there, Lois, you know, his identity isn't revealed and his powers are all there. You know, Wonder Woman has her classic New 52 costume. Hal and Barry are in the Justice League, as well as Diana and Cyborg and Batman. And you know, it fits. You know, you could throw it anywhere. You know, prior to Convergence, as far as like, you know, timeline goes. Right. You know,
like post start of the New 52, pre-Convergence.
Right. And then you would be happy with it sitting there. But that being said, it is a great Superman story. It's a great Justice League story. The art is gorgeous.
Ah.
He lets every character shine. There's some great character moments, ton of teamwork. And this is the first time I think you really see that team being written by anybody else other than Geoff Johns. And he just does an amazing job. And it's going to be it takes place loosely in continuity. There's no like, I have to buy this now. But like when it comes out in trade, buy it and read it and love it and read it again. You know, like it, I think, you know, like you'll probably see it come out like as a $30 hardcover.
Right.
And then you'll probably see it like after that for like 14 bucks or something like that. And it will be just as great then, I am sure. So if you want to read, like, it's just like a classic Justice League story, but so good. And he's reinventing or doing something with a Superman character that nobody really has done. Greg Rucka might have touched on it, but this is totally different. But yeah, just fantastic book. My favorite book of the week.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited to read it. I will say I will probably wait until it's like a dollar sale on Comixology before I do read it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely excited to read that comic.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, wait 2 months and wait till it drops to like $5. Also this week, I'm going to jump to my second favorite book, which was Dr. Fate number one. Just continued off of the preview, which was actually acting as a zero issue. And we see him become Dr. Fate. And it was
so the wonderful. Preview wasn't the first 5 pages of the comic. Like, I should read the preview before reading the comic book issue.
Right. And it feels like a really New York book. The flood that's going on reminds me of Sandy. And just when he walks around New York, you could tell that like Paul Levitz knows New York. And it's a fantastic book. I would recommend everybody picking it up. I saw a couple complaints that like they were trying too hard with the imagery of Dr. Fate in a hoodie, and DC trying to be cool and they're not. But to me, like, that's where you become damned if you do and damned if you don't, you know.
Right.
If, you know, he's got like, you know, the yellow granny panties on, you know, that he had in the 80s, you know, like it, and kept the same style, you know, and they didn't try anything new, they'd be yelled at for just being
like same old Dr. Fate. Yeah.
trying nothing new here.
Right.
And they're trying something new visually and story-wise. And it works for me. I liked it a whole lot. After that, I really dug Martian Manhunter number one. I don't like it as much as the John Ostrander series, but it is a great start. You see an alien race invading someone, and I think they're a new take on like the White Martians. The only thing I don't like about this is that like we've seen the White Martians and Martian Manhunter like a zillion times over. Right. Give him something else, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would love if like his origins for the New 52 was that like his planet was destroyed by Darkseid and he was the last survivor and he has like a vendetta against Darkseid or something like that. You know, like just, you know, he like Mars was the first stop before Earth or something, you know. Give him something, you know, other than just White Martians, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
I also, after that, what I really, really liked was Black Canary. I thought it was a blast. It was great. The one thing that I did not like about it was she's on the run, right? She's trying to keep a low profile. So she starts or joins a band, they're not really too clear on that, called the Black Canaries. Like, yeah, like, come on.
Right.
Come on. Like, I get that it's cute, but like, what? I don't know. That bothered me. But the story was great. The art was great. Other than that little like hiccup there, like I really enjoyed that. After that, Doom number one was really good. It was fun. It just read like a Spider-Man comic. So I don't know, like I just read it and was like, well, I'd rather be reading a Spider-Man comic. So that's kind of how I felt. Like, it's cool that it takes place in the DC universe, but
right.
It did feel like it was hitting you over the head with like, and this is the Mary Jane,
right?
And this is the Gwen Stacy character, and this is the Aunt May character, and this is the Harry Osborn character. You know, like it screamed. It was like so heavy-handed. It didn't seem like it brought anything new to that. So like, why read it? I don't know. Anyway, so after that, I read Harley Quinn and Power Girl from DC, and that was okay. It kind of just felt like more Harley Quinn comics. A lot of like just stupid sexual innuendos. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. I think Bleeding Cool ran a big article this week about how, you know, it's now confirmed that DC confirms that Harley and Poison Ivy are a couple in this new Harley Quinn comic, which they've always had like innuendo about since the New 52 run started. And I saw a bunch of like fanboys and fangirls like blow their tops about it. And I was like, oh yeah, like it just seems like a reaction. I'm like, this isn't anything new. Like, you know,
yeah,
that dopey beaver joke. You know, you want to see my beaver from like Harley Quinn number one when the
new. Well, yeah, you know, like sometimes like that's more annoying to me than like Harley and Ivy being a couple.
Yeah,
because it's just like, I don't know, like, you know, like if you had like a friend who was like your friend who makes those like sexual innuendo jokes all the time, like. You're like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just kind of gross.
Yeah, it's weird. I agree with you. It seemed like, I feel like more fanboys like found that the guys who are complaining are the guys who are like, oh, these funny jokes, and then they make Harley and Ivy a couple, and they're like, well, come on, you're killing the character. She's supposed to be in a messed up relationship with the Joker.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, like that doesn't bother me. Like, you know, she's probably going to be in a you know, I'm sure it's not the healthiest of relationships with Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
She's dating someone called Poison Ivy.
Fair enough.
And after that, I read Armor Wars number 2 from James Robinson.
And how'd you like that one?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good.
Nice. That is one of the times I think I'm going to wait for Marvel Unlimited to get it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just that, like, at $4 a book. And I wonder if it's the one half issue that I got just didn't, like, make me super excited for the regular book. It's almost like that sales tactic backfired on them.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you on that. Yeah, so also I read a really old two-part Outsiders issue from Pete Tomasi, and I started his Nightwing run, and they were great. And I could see why he was... It's just... He's great at writing Bat characters, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, Pete Tomasi is just fantastic. And yeah. Now, I only read one book this week, but it's by the current hardest working man in comics, Cullen Bunn, who is not only writing for DC, but is writing for Marvel as well.
Uh-huh.
He wrote Deadpool. He's writing the Deadpool Secret Wars series, which takes place during 1984 Secret Wars. And this book really is fantastic. Like, if you played with the Secret Wars toys as a kid, you definitely should be reading this series, because number 2 has a whole bit about the shield that the action figures used to come with that had like the lenticular card inside it, sort of had
space.
So Deadpool finds those shields. Like, those shields are never in the comics. That was just like a toy accessory. So the Deadpool finds that shield and like a room full of them, but you know, he's greedy. So like, he tells everybody that that's the only one, and he gets kind of like into a pissing contest with Captain America over like whose shield is better. And he's like, yours doesn't talk to you. And it's really, really funny comic. A lot of the comic is, you know, Deadpool just interacting with these characters like they were in 1984. And it really, really is awesome. Like, I think out of all of the Secret Wars tie-ins, this is my favorite. And it doesn't have anything to do with the current Secret Wars.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds awesome. I mean, and that sounds awesome for people who don't want to be tied up in the whole event.
Right.
And just enjoy like a good book from Marvel. I think they're doing a nice job of keeping some series running during the event that aren't tied in, like Hawkeye.
Right.
But yeah, I would. That's a cool like mini series to be reading while the rest of the Marvel Universe is resetting itself.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it for me. I actually only read that today. I was doing a lot of traveling this week for that wedding that I was officiating, and I'm happy that I bought. Up at Comic Depot in Saratoga Springs, I bought a very nice looking copy of Spider-Man versus Wolverine number 1 from like 1985. That was my favorite comic as a kid, and I read it until like the cover fell off, so it was nice to like buy one in good condition. And then I picked up 2 books that aren't available digitally, Super Soldier number 1 and JLX number 1, which were both from the Amalgam line of comics when Marvel and DC combined for, you know, a fun week or two.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. They're both written by Mark Wade, JLX with art by Howard Porter, who was drawing JLA at the time, and Super Soldier number 1 with art by Dave Gibbons. So I don't think I've ever read either of those 2 issues. So I'm excited to read those.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know how they are.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, that is going to bring it to the end of this week's podcast. A little shorter than other previous weeks, but I'm guessing we're with San Diego Comic-Con coming up, we're going to have a long one after that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, because that'll just be all news that week.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, everybody, have an awesome Tuesday night. David, thanks for joining me.
You bet.
And we will see you next week. Bye-bye. Excelsior.